T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is me, Matt Spiegel, and you, Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly, and you, dear listeners of 670 The Score, and Tony Gill and Herb Lawrence. And we have, like, radio microphones, muffs that go on top of the microphones.
It's classy.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a big-time radio station, and they're letting us drive it for a few hours.
I can't believe it. I'm still surprised, still pinching myself.
Don't say it out loud. I probably shouldn't have even said it out loud. Hello, everyone. Thanks for those who have been interacting today, as you and I have both been looking forward to being on. And those who have been tweeting at me and Facebooking and stuff, and those who are there with us, either right now at 670thescore.com or on the terrestrial radio, or maybe on the radio.com app. I'm picturing on a Friday evening as the humidity and the heat slowly decays into what should be another lovely summer night.
Right.
I want us to have some listeners with beverage in hand. Mm. And perhaps the grill is going, or you're in the backyard, or you're maybe in the garage, or wherever your little corner of the universe happens to be. For me, it's a city balcony,
you know?
11th floor balcony. Just sit up there, and everybody can just completely F off, and it's my time. Damn it.
Yeah, see, I haven't fixed. We moved in our new house about a year ago, so I haven't set up like my. You can't call it a man cave. My man pad section, where it's like the grill is far from.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna say that man pad is not where you want to go.
Yeah, that's there's a double meaning there.
Man corner.
Right, man corner. Tony Siragusa sell the man pads if memory serves? But yeah, you don't have a spot.
I mean, I haven't set it up properly. It's not configured right.
I got a 2-bedroom, 2-bath condo in the city. I don't have enough room for a man pad.
Well, it makes the decision making easier, doesn't it?
It does. You have limited choices. It's the balcony and the balcony couch. I got as big of a couch as I could possibly get that fits on the balcony. Yeah. I measured it and I'm 94 inches on the couch, damn it, so I can sleep out there sometimes.
I love it.
And I do.
Right. You get a little fresh air, the waft of someone else's barbecue. That's not a bad thing.
It's absolutely fine. Get a speaker set up out there and listen to music, or maybe listen to the radio, and we hope you're listening to the radio right now. We got a lot to talk about. That was an ugly debacle over at Wrigley Field. I was there today, and I talked to some players pregame and listening to Joe Maddon sing the praises of John Lester pregame. But then Lester goes out there and is just awful, absolutely awful. His ERA jumped by more than half a run today.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
No.
Yeah.
Everything he threw was chaotic in terms of a location. He couldn't locate to save his life. He said so after the game that it was mechanically. He thought maybe he'd have one of these coming. Like he just did not feel comfortable. You could tell everything sailing like towards the first base side of the plate. And then when he had to come in, it was a meatball, and it was extremely ugly. But then you had the joy of position players pitching. Had 3 of them today. That was fun.
3 in a game. And I don't believe, has that ever happened to the Cubs ever used 3 position players in a game? I know they've done 2. I saw that somewhere on Twitter today.
Yeah, the historian Ed Hardig had said that they used 2 in 1907.
So it's been a little while.
I don't think they've ever used 3. The last team to use 3 was the Milwaukee Brewers in 1979.
Oh my gosh.
Sal Bando threw 3 innings.
All right, listeners, were you there that day? Call in. The number is.
See, I remember seeing that highlight of Sal Bando pitching on This Week in Baseball.
Oh my God, Twib notes.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
I was 9 years old. What was I gonna do?
Is your Lester concern? I mean, was this a 1-day thing, or we had a couple of those last year where he didn't really look
for sure
dialed in.
Remember the one last year where he immediately went to the dugout and yelled at Chris Bosio?
there may be layers to that story, but
he went in and went right over to him and let him have it. See, here's the thing about Lester this year. He's been amazing.
Yeah.
And it's been phenomenal. But he is no longer a stuff guy, as Theo Epstein said in spring training. And he's been, it's funny because Joe Maddon today was talking about it before the game and said, you know, it's a maturation of sorts for John Lester this year as he's praising the season, saying he's kind of a pitch maker.
As he sipped his Cabernet. Right?
Yeah, yes, exactly. But like, you know, kind of a pitch maker now. But the problem is when you're that guy and you're a pitch maker and you're not a stuff guy, you better be money. You better be money with location, which he usually is.
Yep.
I remember Jed Hoyer a couple years ago said, look, not everybody can get up out of bed and throw a cut fastball on the black on the outside corner like John Lester. Right. Not everybody can do that. Mm-hmm. Lester can usually do that. Today, he did not do that, and it was just absolute chaos.
Yeah, there were a couple games that just didn't look right last year, I guess for now, because how good he's been. I'm chalking it up to just an aberration, I guess.
I think you can. I was surprised that he was as good as he's been. What I think the ERA was 2.58, and now it's up to 3.14. So that's almost a 0.6 jump. I don't think he's going to be as good as he was, but you know they have issues. They obviously have issues, but it tickles me a bit to realize just the first world problems, the high end concerns of a team like the Cubs, who have the best record in the National League.
Yeah.
You look at them, and Anthony Rizzo had the brutal start and has a bunch of RBIs, but really hasn't been himself. Chris Bryant has been hurt and sometimes not productive for stretches, went a long time without a homer. Yu Darvish has been, to this point, an absolute disaster of a bust. Tyler Chatwood has been a bust.
Bad.
Brandon Morrow is on the DL for the second time here, and yet they still have the best record in the National League. Yeah. They're still 2.5 games up as of right now on the Milwaukee Brewers. And you know Rizzo and Bryant are going to have a hot streak together at some point.
Absolutely.
You know they will.
And we saw the Brewers last year. We saw what happened to them. I don't know if there are too many people out there who can convince they're going to keep up what they're doing. So you have to only assume that the Cubs get healthier. They get better. They start kind of coming together in ways that they didn't need to before because everyone else had picked up the slack, you know, Baez and everybody just having such great years. And so, yeah, it's absolutely, like you said, first world problems perspective is needed.
Yeah. And you know, a day like today won't do that any favors.
Sure.
But a day like yesterday will, when I didn't even mention Hendricks, who has not been what they need him
same.
To be.
Yep.
You know, I mean, all of these issues, all of these guys underachieving, and yet here they are with the best record in the National League. But yesterday's game, last night's game, where you end up putting up 9 with, 15 hits, and the Cardinals had 13 hits, and the offense just doing so many good things.
Yeah.
For the most part, that's the offense that you have seen. Like, one after another, guys moving the baseball, like Maddon likes to say. Sometimes you get the power. But even when you don't, you get guys moving the baseball and you get aggressive base running. Did you see Hayward take second on a sacrifice fly last night?
Yeah.
The confidence with which he's playing and just like the contagious nature of all, just the attitude with which they play, for the most part, has been really, really good. Today was horrifically ugly, but I know all those guys are out at John Lester's charity event. Right now, tonight, they're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, you got a day-nighter, a day-night doubleheader, and onward you go, and this one will be forgotten rather quickly.
I like the makeup of this lineup, too, because, you know, it obviously felt at one point, you know, in years past where draw walks, hit home runs, you know, and it became a little bit more hot and cold. This team, I think, hits through things like that and has an ability to do that small ball, but also kind of medium ball, you know, and I just think that makes them so tough to stop from scoring 6-7 runs on an average night. So yeah, I think there's lots of good things ahead for this team.
312-644-6767. If you want to call in, it's a Friday night here on The Score. We're in for Lawrence Holmes. It's guest week.
Yeah.
So you were right.
I was here. Yeah.
I was on with Lawrence last week and he said this was guest week. So you were here as one of the guests.
I was the closer. I came in for the ninth inning, 9 to 10 on Monday. Yeah. I was here Monday.
Okay.
So we had a good chat. It flew by. Felt like 8 minutes.
Who else have been here? Because I was on vacation. I was far away for a few days. Herb Lawrence, who else has been here in guest week?
Sierra Santos, Layla Rahimi.
Yep.
It was Eric Cody on Monday. Then we went with
Tyler and Dave Ross were in one day. Jacobs from Stadium. Yep.
Yeah, and then Dean Davis were in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know who Taylor Rooks is.
I do not.
Taylor Rooks, they worked for SNY in New York. She used to be here at Big Ten Network and also University of Illinois.
She's great.
Yeah. A couple other people. I was on for like an hour.
Or was it half an hour. Extended Ask Herb?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, very nice.
And Sierra was supposedly outstanding, right? I didn't catch it yet. I still haven't heard it yet, but I guess that was terrific, right?
Yeah, Sierra was probably the star of Yes Week because she gave a lot of in-depth stuff about her childhood, where she was a bad child, and then she's made it to Chicago as a top journalist here in Chicago.
She was
a bad child.
Yeah, she got sent to like some Utah bad girls school where she's like,
I watched
not
that
bad
movie.
Girls club. That's
yeah, no, I saw that movie on Cinemax. I think
I have that
it's
t-shirt.
Late night. Yeah, yeah. That Utah bad girls school. Yeah. Yeah, we got all the Mormon bad girl conflicts. It was kind
of
good.
And of course, we had Bulls stuff. So Vinnie Goodwill came in, and Cam Smith from CBS2 came in.
Look at that,
really close to the Jabari Parker family.
There you
so
go.
It was great information.
Ask a question, get an answer from Herb Lawrence. And it's also like been Nostalgia Week here in Chicago Sports Radio. Chet Kopick was on the other station today. Mike North was on the other station. Terry Bors and Dan McNeil doing 3 days together this week. The Heavy Fuel Crew reunion. I know they talked to some people, not me, but that's all right. I wasn't a part of anything. It's okay. But 670, the score is where you are. And now it's more nostalgia tonight. We're looking back to 4 months ago when I used to be on the station on a regular basis. And I'm here with you now and looking forward to it. As we talk, some Cubs here out of the gate. And, man, I can't wait to talk Bears. I know you're a football human, Eric at home. He writes for Pro Football Weekly. You've written for a million publications. I used to hear you on the radio as a guest, and now here we sit next to each other on the radio. And I've been dying to talk some Bears, so we have
to. Let's do this. Yeah. We've got lots to talk about.
Uh-huh.
For once, because last year I felt like we had to force it a little, when will Trubisky take over? And, this year there are so many angles.
I wanted to simulate the entire season last year.
Okay.
I just wanted to press the sim button because I didn't want to watch that.
Right.
I didn't want to watch
it,
I didn't want to watch Trubisky learn. First, I didn't want to watch him not play.
Right.
That was the worst.
Yeah, that's not good.
But, we all knew it was the last year of John Fox. It's like, I have been waiting for this offseason to play out, and it has played out, and here we are. It's the Rams comp. I was all over this the entire season.
Yes, you were.
Every article I could find. All right, the Rams. Okay, here's the Rams. Here's what they did. They went and hired the young hotshot assistant.
Yep.
And then the quarterback who looked kind of middling, he made the big jump. And they kept the defensive coordinator, kept the veteran coordinator.
The gray-haired defensive coordinator.
Right?
Yeah.
The grizzled bastard. So the young hotshot OC doesn't have to worry about that side of the ball at all.
Yeah.
They go out and they sign two free wide receivers and draft a couple. Oh, wait a minute. They did that too. They went and got a tight end, and then they added coach after coach with extreme pedigree. This is the dream offseason, and it played out piece by piece by piece. I've seen some projections that have the Bears improving to 7-9. How can they not be one of your choices to improve more than that in a league where every year there's always a couple surprise playoff teams? I think the most that we've seen in terms of repeat playoff teams, it's usually 5 or 6.
Right.
Almost every year, there's an incredible influx of new playoff teams. How do you not have the Bears at the top of your list for those possibilities?
They're one of my absolute possibilities for that. And every year, I think the average lasts 15 years. The parity in this league is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Last 15 years, we've averaged 5 new playoff teams a year. Think about that.
That's incredible.
Meaning 5 that weren't there the previous season.
Right, right, right.
But I mean, I thought of all the new coaching staffs, Nagy did a fantastic job retaining the defensive staff. And also bringing in some smart people on the offensive side of the ball. Harry Heistand's going to be great with that offensive line. Mark Helfrich, I think, was a smart addition. I really like that. I think that's going to be good. And then, like you said, all the additions they made. This is all kind of now on Mitch a little bit. I mean, I think the defense will hold its end, right? And then
it should be on Mitch.
It should.
That's your job.
He wants it. He said today, I'm a man and I'm ready to go.
And it's his team and his job from moment one here of camp. You come in. And that, of course, unquestioned, everything every decision has been made within the organization to make that kid comfortable and productive. And that's the way you have to do it in this league, right? You have to do everything. Every decision you make in the organization has to be made with the quarterback in mind. Because when you can maximize his comfort level and productivity on the rookie deal,
it's huge.
Then what can you do? Absolutely anything.
Yep, the team you just mentioned, obviously LA Rams, Jared Goff. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles got Carson Wentz the same year. Look what they did last season. If you have that roster flexibility, that financial ability to spend at other positions on, you know, short or front-loaded deals at defense, offense, offensive line, whatever, it just gives you an advantage that's so huge. Because quarterback, typically, is going to take up, you know, the whole position, you know, 20% of your cap, 18 to 20% of your cap for a top-end guy.
It's crazy. Yeah. And we're like 2 years away from even having to think about those kind of things with him, let alone whether he's worth it, of course. But right now, you have the flexibility like the Cowboys have with Dak Prescott, like the Seahawks had with Russell Wilson in their heyday, and like the Niners had with Kaepernick when he was young and cheap and good or impressive enough. I mean, you can absolutely do anything you want to this roster right now. And it's an incredibly exciting offseason, and here we are. When are you going there? When are you going there for the first time?
I'll be driving. I'll be leaving the hinterlands early Sunday morning. They have an 8:15 practice. That means I've got to get up at whatever time. I don't know.
Leaving the hinterlands.
Yeah. I'm up in Cary. We're way up in,
you know. Oh, yeah. Yes.
We keep inching our way to Minnesota. We were like, you know, like the next time you guys have me on, I'll be like, I'm sorry. You know, actually tax laws don't allow me to work there anymore.
So you've got a hinterland to hinterland journey coming on Sunday.
I'll be avoiding the city altogether. Yeah.
Just going a big loop around the thing.
I don't think I take a highway the whole way there. It's all back roads. So I'll be there Sunday morning. First padded practice. So obviously, you know, big questions for me is Roquan Smith going to be there? Is Danny Trevathan healthy by that point? You know, what does it look like? Because the first padded practice last year, frankly, I was there. You know, Mike Glennon couldn't throw the ball more than 15 yards. Oh, Trubisky was all over the place. It was kind of ugly.
All that ugliness all year long.
Yeah, it was bad.
Just all the ugliness and just having to listen to the old school coach who just actively did things to decrease the chance of productivity and maturation for the quarterback. Like, stood in the way of it for a large part of the year.
Mitch threw 7 passes against the Carolina Panthers.
Carolina. Right.
Well, he got sacked about 8 times in that game, too, I think. But they finally let him let it rip in the overtime against the Ravens. Okay, he made a nice throw. It was like, you know, all right, let's go. Let's see some more of this. And they would just keep sort of holding back and keeping those, until it's too late, until, like, their job was sealed.
Yeah. This segment is being brought to you by Hotels.com. With Hotels.com, get rewarded from seaside cabins to resorts. Hotel.com's deals come with access to instant savings, too. Hotels.com, you do you. And get rewarded. Instant savings available on select properties. It's Spiegel and Ed Holm right here on The Score with you until 10 o'clock. Julie DeCaro after that. We have lots of stuff to talk about. We have some weird things to discuss as well that we'll get to. But let's keep it on the Cubs and the Bears if you want to hop in at 312-644-6767. But Cubs needs in terms of trades and one player who keeps improving and has a little more to go that I want to talk about when we come back, right here on 670 The Score. Joe Maddon is not concerned. That's his default, Eric. He likes to live publicly and privately in a positive headspace, a lack of concern, show that belief, that confidence in everybody he's got, and refuse to panic. And, you know, for the most part, it works. It can drive you a little crazy sometimes, but for the most part,
it works. I was just going to say, it seems to get under people's skin a little bit. Like, how is he so chill? You know, and it really, you know, like, he takes his nerves out on the lineup card. That's like his only thing. You know what I mean? Like, some people have their little trinkets. He decides to mess with the lineup. But, hey, whatever works, man. I'm fine with it.
It was an ugly day for John Lester. Yu Darvish, we don't even know what the timetable might be right now for Yu Darvish. Tyler Chatwood is one of the most horrific pitchers to watch I have ever seen. And that's saying a lot. I mean, I watched Steve Traxel. And Traxel took a long time. But Chatwood is that guy like, oh, that stuff looks fine. Why doesn't he just do that? And then it's just chaos and it's everywhere. And
yeah.
he walks the world and then just like wild pitch after wild pitch after wild pitch.
Hit batsman.
You wanna punch yourself as you watch him do his thing. So they have issues and they have needs in that rotation. And there's one name that keeps coming up. Let's go to the phones. Travis is in Sycamore on 670 The Score. And now Travis is on with me, Matt Spiegel, and him, Eric Edholm. It is The Score on a Friday night as we're in for Lawrence Holmes. What's up, Travis?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
All right. So obviously with Joe Maddon saying, you know, he's not concerned and Cubs fans shouldn't be concerned because they're still in first place with everything. But I heard a statistic before calling in that of the Cubs' 95 games, they've trailed in 70 of them. With that, it's the lack of consistency with their starting pitching. Do you think that they should make a move or that they will make a move for DeGrom, especially in the playoffs with how important pitching is? To solidify, you know, a solid 1-2-3 for the playoffs.
Yeah, Jacob DeGrom of the Mets is one of the more attractive names out there. DeGrom is making $7.4 million, has two more years of arbitration. So you'd have two more years of control for him before he's an unrestricted free agent. He is the best player on the Mets, let alone just the best pitcher.
Yep.
And I don't think they're going to go full rebuild in terms of like wanting a huge prospect package. So that actually could work in the Cubs' favor if you're going to find yourself in there. Cause I think they want the kind of trade that we've seen the White Sox make before this particular model of the White Sox, rebuild, where you're trading for a young controlled position player that you can slot in. It could be one of your guys. Like, would they do DeGrom for Addison Russell and Mike Montgomery?
Okay. And just those two. Uh-huh. You don't think you'd need a third or something? I don't know. I'm just...
Those are two major league pieces that you have control of for a little while. And Russell's got a high ceiling. They're going to want a major league position player or two for DeGrom. Because, again, I don't think they want to go full backwards. I don't think in New York they can get away with it. And I don't think they want to try and get away with it.
Yep.
So the names we've heard if the Cubs are going to be involved would be Ian Happ.
Ian Happ. Yep.
And I don't want to give up Ian Happ right now.
Too useful. Too good a pitcher.
I would give up. I would look if they would take.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Too good a pitcher.
Well, he threw a scoreless inning. Right.
He did. Yeah. He said he had the sinker working today. If the Mets would take Addison Russell and Mike Montgomery,
yeah, you'd do that
in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
I'd do it today.
I realize it's been depleted a little. I mean, if they ask for a, throw in a sweetener, a double A prospect or something, would you be able to go over that top
yes,
on that?
Yeah, yes, okay, yep. Yeah. I know that's a lot, but think about it. You're losing Montgomery,
right? Stealing from a position of strength, though. Yeah.
You are. Although Brian Dunsing's been bad, of late. But you can go out and you'll trade for another lefty in the bullpen if you need to go get one.
Yep.
You could go and replace a Mike Montgomery somehow in your pen. You're not going to need him as a swing guy because you're getting DeGrom and slotting him in there. And again, it's just like Jose Quintana. We're talking about multiple years here. Multiple years of DeGrom, 3 years of three pennant races with that guy. All of a sudden, he's your five, and you can stop trying to justify your Chatwood move by throwing him out there again. I think they're the kind of front office that is willing to chase a position that they've already committed a bunch of resources to and not really worry about it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like they threw all that money at Darvish and Chatwood, but if here you are, you're sitting there and you don't think it's solved and you've got a chance to get somebody who'll be for a couple of years, they're the kind of front office that's going to say, you know what? Screw it. Let's do it. And I know it's asking a lot, Addison Russell, but really you'll just play Baez at short and you'll play Happ or Zobrist at second.
Yep.
And you'll survive, I think, just fine.
It's one of those trades to me that makes sense on both ends, too. And I know the Mets have a shortstop they like, but they could put Russell at second or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, so the scenario you just laid out makes a lot of sense. And I think you're right about the makeup of the Cubs front office, a willingness to kind of, sort of admit their mistakes. And DeGrom is, What's his ERA? 1.5 right now? I mean, he's been unbelievable this year. I only know because he's on my fantasy team. But, yeah, strikeout guy. What is he, 29, 30 years old we're talking about? Like you said, the 2 years of contract control there. I don't see the real downside here. I think that's a move they would absolutely be interested in.
Mike Montgomery, although he is 29, has 3 more years of salary control because he got here late to the bigs. So you've got arbitration year 1 for Montgomery is next year. So that's, you're offering a lot of control.
Yeah.
It's like, look, here's a starting pitcher. You can slot him in right now. He wants to start and you can start him.
Yep.
And you'll need to in New York. And here's Addison. Would you guys do that one? 312-644-6767. Can you find yourself with a team this good where you are, the best record in the National League? Are you comfortable giving up Addison Russell and Mike Montgomery to go get Jacob DeGrom? I would be.
I would, too.
Nothing else. But, hey, I'm the guy who wanted to consider trading Javier Baez a few years ago.
Well, you know, we're glad they didn't listen, but, you know, obviously. Yeah. And the thing
I was not alone in that, by the way. I talked to somebody today at the ballpark. For those who don't know, Eric, I have a T-shirt because I tweeted it out one night that my wife says I should get a T-shirt that says, my name is Matt, and I once wanted to trade Javier Baez for pitching, right? And a guy tweeted back at me and said, I will make you that T-shirt. And he did.
Did he really?
Yes,
oh, wow.
He made her one as well.
That's fantastic.
Although hers should say, I am married to a man named Matt, and he once wanted to trade.
Smaller font.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Get all the words in. But I was not alone. I was talking to somebody today who said they sent – somebody wrote a piece on Baez recently, and he said that he sent a picture of that T-shirt to Baez's agent.
Oh, that's great.
Is that hilarious?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and the agent was laughing about it, and they talked about it, but – I was far from alone on that unfortunate island. There were lots of us there who didn't think Baez's swing would ever slow down enough.
Yeah.
And
it's funny because it sort of felt like he had maybe hit this invisible ceiling of sorts, whatever. But now you have was it Madden the other day who was basically saying, you know, if he can just sort of, was it lay off that little outside pitch, he could be Manny Ramirez?
Yeah, he said that for a couple of years now.
Okay. I didn't know that old a quote.
He said if he can, well, and he keeps going back to it. If he could learn to spit on the slider, the slider at low and away, then he's Manny Ramirez. He didn't today. There was a moment where Baez didn't. When the bases got loaded in that crazy inning today where Flaherty, the Cubs, the Cardinals pitcher, loaded the bases. I think he threw like 38 pitches.
In the inning?
Yeah. And there was not a single ball in play. Like he walked two guys and he hit somebody. Yeah. And the Cubs had the bases loaded and couldn't do anything with it. I think Baez and Contreras were the ones who struck out right there.
For pitching.
Yeah. Right. But, look, I don't know that if Russell and Montgomery would be enough, but boy, I would certainly start there and try to get there. Texters are saying it's 670-11. So the Rosner and Ostrowski said this morning, Russell, Happ, and Montgomery wouldn't be enough for the Mets. I don't think that's
the three
true.
Of them. Yeah,
three major league ready pieces with massive amounts of control. No, I don't think that would be an undervalue. No way. So it's maybe you get J.A. Happ. Would you give up? See, I don't know if I want a pitcher like J.A. Happ for Russell and Montgomery. That doesn't feel like enough for me. But hey,
in DeGrom, you get an ace. I mean, there's a difference, and obviously the Mets will try to, I think, maximize that value if they can. So we'll see.
I don't know if anybody read Sahadev Sharma on The Athletic about Wilson Contreras.
No.
The other day, I think maybe it was today. It was either today or yesterday. It's this really long, really good piece on how Contreras just needs to get better at pitch framing, and that's the final thing that will make him the best catcher in all of baseball.
Wow.
Now, Madden already calls him the best catcher in all of baseball.
Right.
Some other people do as well because he's got, the bat, he's going to hit better than he has for this year. I think Contreras is going to have a very good second half year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's over an 800 of the OPS.
But homer the bat, today. Yeah.
Yep, the bat and the arm and the speed on the bases and his ability to block balls in the dirt and such. But it's the pitch framing. He's dead last in one of the pitch framing stats that Baseball Prospectus has. But the piece by Sahadev is so crazy because he talks to Mike Borzello. Mike Borzello is the star of the piece. Yeah. Mike Borzello is the Cubs catching expert and assistant coach and game planner. But he talks in detail about pitch framing, like with nuance and like your arm placement and your hand placement, how you have to have soft hands.
Wow.
And how like you can never end up with the full arm extended as as you're reaching out to get it. Like the minutia of what he tries to teach in terms of pitch framing was crazy.
I've never heard that before. It's like Herb's scrambled eggs. Like he was telling us before the show, you know, like you take it off the heat, you put it on, you whisk it right handed, but never left. And
yeah, that was crazy. What was Herbie? That was, it was Graham Elliott. You said, or Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay. Okay. Yeah.
And you said like it's a 5 minute egg scrambling process or just the cooking and the scrambling all at once in the pan.
Yeah. You like have a medium heat, put a pat of butter in there and then just like crack the eggs inside the pot. You got to like have a saucepan, right? Something big that's gonna not have the eggs going over the corner, over the edges,
over the edge.
And then you have a rubber spatula and just constantly stir however many eggs you have in there, 3, 4, and then constantly stir and then take off for 15 seconds, put it back on the iron for 30.
Yeah, that's the part that drives me crazy. So I'm trying to imagine Herb Lawrence, and you do this, so you stand there and you have the saucepan on the oven for 30 seconds as you're whisking or you're rubber scraping, and then you take it off for 15 seconds and you're still scrambling.
Yes.
And then you go back and you take it off again and you just keep doing that way, 30-15, 30-15, 30-15.
Yeah, I just usually have my clock set at like 6 minutes and then just count it down. And then when it hits the bottom of the seconds, and then I take it off, and then usually 45, put it back on.
It will change your life.
This has
changed the way I view eggs, scrambled eggs.
Whoa, that's heavy talk. Now I got to do this morning. Tony, when were you a convert? After you talked to Herb?
No. I've seen the video. Oh. And I was like, I'll give it a try.
And you eat it that way too?
Now I can't have it any other way. I won't go out and eat eggs. If they don't do it that way, I ask them how are the eggs prepared, and if it doesn't look like Gordon Ramsay, then I'm good.
Could you have your chef watch this video, please? Before he cooks my eggs.
I've never had like that fluffy, but still like firm and solid. Like it's the perfect mixture. It's great.
Wow. Is it wrong that I'm getting slightly aroused by the scrambled eggs talk?
I didn't think I would, at 8 o'clock at night.
Some interesting adjectives going
on. In the break, watch the video. I mean, I know you guys can't have sound, but it's about a 4 minute video.
Don't tell me what to do, man. I just came back, I'm just here. I'm trying to relax, trying to have fun. I'll use the break as I damn well please, Herb.
This is all my fault. I got us on the eggs. We were talking pitch framing. If we can get Contreras to scramble his eggs a certain way, then frame his pitches.
Right. You know. Yeah. Now I need to know if Mike Borzello cooks his eggs.
I'm sure he does.
This is what we're going to have to find out. My God. All right. So I'm trying to imagine life with eggs that good.
Yeah.
How much better life would be if my eggs were consistently as remarkable as they are for Tony and Herb. I mean, I'd be a much happier man.
And
apparently,
if they were farm fresh too, that would just take it over the top.
You ever? I never have because I've never been to France. France. People tell me like the eggs in France.
Yeah.
It's a completely different taste experience.
I spent some time in the south of France. No, I didn't. I'm kidding. Wouldn't that be a good story? Yeah. No.
We're watching it now. Oh my God.
You're watching the egg video now.
It's getting a little hot over there.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
You got the porn music. You got the porn music ready to go. All right, look forward at the break. This segment on The Score is being brought to you by Subway, and aren't they proud? Wrap your hands around Subway restaurants. Savory rotisserie-style chicken Caesar signature wrap. Enjoy tender rotisserie-style chicken topped off with savory Caesar sauce fit for an emperor. Try one today at Subway. Limited time only at participating restaurants. It's Matt Spiegel and Erica at home with you on The Score. Let's talk to Bob Laguerre, your colleague from Pro Football Weekly, about Bears camp and what has already transpired and what is to come here on the very first weekend down in Bourbonnais.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We'll do that next on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.